Okay, so I know you guys did it like last week. My guys did it. We've been doing it this week, the issue of Lo Sichaneim. So to quickly review it, and then I figured we'd do some of the practical applications. We'll see how many we get through. So if you remember, the Gemara outlines three prohibitions derived from Lo Sichaneim. What are they?
Don't give them land, don't give them
favor,
and they'll get
the gifts. Good, right? Don't give them land in Eretz Yisrael, right? Leis midaraisa, korei midarabanan, the Ramban expenses to Chotar, it's fine.
We don't hold it
then,
okay.
That's renting, because of, but selling, right? Renting is different problems, right? Because of machnas avodah zarah lesocho and the like. But selling, where it wouldn't be your problem because it's not yours, right? The Ramban says it applies to midirabban chutz aretz, gzera atu, chayin, don't praise them, right? Manas chinam. Maishir spent a lot of time figuring out which is primary of those drashot. In the Bavli, it seems like karka. Okay. Now, there are a few modern issues that came up that really tested the nature of this and its application. So, one of them, which is the one we'll focus on today, and maybe we'll get to a second, was the issue of Heter Mechira. So very quickly, what is the Heter Mechira historically? So, in Shemitah, right, there are two sets of laws that relate to Shemitah. What are they?
You can't work the field, anything that anyone come and take the field.
No, that's one set of laws. Right? One are the field-related ones. You can't work it. And okay, everything related to the agricultural parts, which you can't work the land,
you can't return loans.
Shemitah Kesafim. Okay, fine. Now, once the Jews started coming en masse to Israel during the first Aliyah, which was what year?
1882. Close enough.
Not even close, right? 1882. So once Jews started coming, things got complicated in the first Shemitah, which was, well, technically the first Shemitah after the first Aliyah was that year, 1882, but no one had planted by that point, so it wasn't really a relevant question. But by 1889, everyone wanted to know what to do. And they had started, as you know anything about Israeli history, you know that the early settlers were...
Not religious.
But we're involved in farming, right? There was a lot of farming going on. That was the relevant issue for us, was that they were involved in farming, and therefore the religious farmers. Admittedly, there were many secular ones who didn't care about what we're about to talk about, but there were many religious ones, and they wanted to figure out, could they continue planting in Eretz Yisrael? Could they continue agriculture or not?
Right.
And this was very problematic because obviously, Medina de Gemara, Medina de Sukkim in the Torah, right? You are not supposed to. Or you're not supposed to work the land. Now, this is problematic, and it was practically problematic because, first of all, people needed food. It wasn't just like a 1 year thing. Like, they were tilling the land, they were developing the land. Now, you know. Jump forward into the more recent period, the additional problem was not just that you needed to be able to settle the land, was that Israel agriculture has become not just the way we eat food, but has become one of our main exports. And the problem with stopping during Shemitah is not only will we lose the market share for that year, which, okay, even if you want to say you can suffer that, the bigger problem is that you might lose the market share forever, because if you can't be reliable every seventh year, then, you know, people may just, other countries may just import produce from other countries, kavua, right? Because it could destroy the economy. So Poskim were approached to ask what solutions we can have. And one of them that was introduced already in that first Shemitah in 1889 was the Heter Mechira. Very serious poskim were involved in it. Rishu of Kutna, Shmuel Mulliver, and they were in favor. The Beis Halevi and the Netziv were against it. And eventually, the Shiloh was sent to the Gadol Hador at the time, the major posek, who was
Rav
Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, the Rav of Kovno, also for the person for whom YU is named, Ritz, Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary, right? Right? The No, that's Reches Galanda. And he allowed it if the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim would concur. However, the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim did not. Shirlev Diskin, the Maral Diskin did not. And the Ashkenazi rabbis basically did not, though the Sephardi Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael did actually carry out the sale. The Shaila came up again in 1896, and this time the Rabbanim Yerushalayim did in fact permit it, with some improvements on the Heter Mechira, Shulayb Diskin, the Aderet, etc. And this happens again in 1903, right? And eventually, Rav Kook, but it wasn't, it didn't become a major heter that was accepted widely until now, Ephraim, until who embraced it? Rav Kook in 1910, with the publishing of his Sefer Shvitat Haaretz. And it was opposed by the major person who really opposed it for a good percentage of the century was the Chazon Ish, right? Rav Yeshaya Karelitz. Now, there were many issues. There were many issues involved. I'm going to give you like a 5-minute snapshot, and then we'll get to how it relates to our sugya. One of the central questions that was involved was, does it even work? Which is based on the Gemara in Gittin Mem Zayin of Yesh Kenyan and Ein Kenyan La'akum Lafkia. Right? Can a when a non-Jew buys Eretz Yisrael, does it or does it not remove the kedusha? Obviously, if you think it does not remove the kedusha, so then you still can't work it. The Chazon Ish had a position that even if you hold it Yesh Kenyan, that is not true. That's only true for mitzvos. It potters trumos and maizos, but it's not true of isurim, and therefore it still forbids shemitah, which is one of the reasons that he was opposed to it. What?
No.
It's a very lumdish position, and if we were focusing on that, we would deal with that. Then there's all types of different solutions. Maybe we should, you know. Whatever, there were a lot of machlokot about whether it worked at all, but basically the way what it would do is that you sell the land temporarily, and again, there are different versions of this, to the non-Jews for the year, with an agreement that the non-Jews will then sublet the land back to the Jews to work the lands over Shemitah, and then after Shemitah, the land will revert back automatically, or in some versions, they will agree to sell it back after Shemitah. Okay, that's basically what the Heter Mechira is.
Okay?
Yes, essentially. Right? Okay. One of the biggest problems, though, one more point, was that many poskim thought the only reason Heter Mechira works, and this is, again, a very complicated lamdus, was some poskim understand the Gemara to mean, the Gra has a discussion of this in Shulchan Aruch, that we paskin that yesh kinyan la'akum l'hafkia le'inyan chiyuvim derabanan. Right? That for deraisa is not for derabanan, yes, and many poskim felt that since the Rambam holds that nowadays Yovel is only derabanan because Rov of Klal Yisrael doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, they compare Yovel to Shemitah and assume that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only the Rabbanan, and therefore they say that maybe the Heter Mechira works only because it's the Rabbanan, which gets problematic because as we now approach the 50% mark, which I think by next Shemitah we will, right? There's been a lot of machlokas about this over the last few years, because if the Heter for Heter Mechira is that Rov Klal Yisrael already lives in Eretz Yisrael, so last Shemitah we may have already been in the point where it wouldn't work. This coming Shemitah will probably definitely be at that point. Right? It's very borderline, and unless you think that Rov Yishvela is only Rov of Klal Yisrael in their ancestral portions, in which case we're not anywhere near that, because everyone is just wherever they are. Right, obviously, like I'm a Levi and I'm living in Arei Yehuda, right? And I do not believe that Ephrat is one of the Arei Leviim, not that I know of, not last I checked. That might, if you held that way. To get into the depth of that, so yeah, it would take forever. That's just a snapshot of what's going on. But since the beginning of the Heter Mechira, one of the central issues that was brought up, which has led to our issue, was, wait a second, forget whether this works for Shemitah or not. Don't you have an issur of selling the land to non-Jews? Echigata laseh. Right? And in probably the most famous line that has ever been quoted on this, again, literally every shir you'll ever hear on this, will quote this line in the Nativ. The Nativ, as we mentioned, was opposed to this. Right? It was the famous line that I underlined for you. Let me do the famous line, and then we'll come back. right? The Netziv said, wait a second. Let's say it works. Let's say it works. But he says, Barach mehazeh v'paga bo'ari. You're running away from a wolf, meaning an Isser Derabanan, and instead you ran into a lion. Right, the Isser D'Oraisa of Lo Sechanim. What are you? Are you out of your mind? Right, if this works, it is much worse than if it didn't work. He's like, if it didn't work, it's a shine. It's an Isser D'Rabbanan. If it does work, you're screwed. Right, because it's Isser D'Oraisa. Right, so paga. Right, Baruch Me'azevu paga bari. Right, what? Right, what is this? Right, it's a. I mean, it's a great line. It's a great line. So. What I want to do is just quickly try to analyze some of the arguments that were brought, because each of the shitot, right, this is one of those things that a lot of the lamdos and losachanim was introduced by the poskim who were trying to defend the Hetter Mechira. Okay, so let's look a little bit more than Netziv. This first shuvah is a shuvah than Netziv, who, I say, as I said, opposed it. So he says, V'risi l'gon echa chakosav, l'yeser se'ezi chol nimkor lishmal, Hamakiro. So this rabbi who supported the Hetter Mechira said, oh, I got it. Let's sell the land to one of the Arabs, one of the Muslims in the land. He says, Ella, Sha'asr Limkar Sadhus of the Gulum Berit Israel, Lufize Bachamit, Kodan Bezak Nagu Shahamidida, Harapesaf, Imkena Chrayas Tala Alamocher, Sark Limkor Gamacheder, Shaskiris Lokanya, Shah Limkor Bayes Berit Israel. Right, he said, the problem is that, right, we'd have to do it, we actually have to sell the land, right, you know, and then he compares it to Mechiras Chametz, where we can't just sell the Chametz itself, you have to sell the place. So, okay, so the first heter that was introduced was, and I'm sure you guys saw this, right, was, who does Lo Sechanim apply to? Good. So this was a fundamental machlokas. Now, the way I presented it for the guys in my shir is that what you find in the sugya Lo Sechanim more than most other sugyas is that the poskim assume a deep connection between the why and the what, the vas and the farvas for Dani, the philosophy behind the mitzvah and the mitzvah itself, or the isser itself. Why do they do this? That's very anti-brisk. Why do they do this?
It makes it easier to find a
hedge. No, because it's in the pasuk, right? Because the pasuk says, don't, right? Don't sell the land to them, pen yachdiu. Right? The pasuk itself says, don't sell it because you might lead you astray. So, who does it apply to? So, there are basically three possibilities. Who does the Isser apply to?
All non-Jews.
So, either all non-Jews, right? Who holds that?
Tosfos.
Shulchan Aruch. Right? Shulchan Aruch, that's the big one for our purposes. Right? But yes, Tosfos says that here. And Tosfos says why? Right, Tosfos says, how do you know?
There's no reason to say it's on the seven.
Correct, but so what? You'll tell me, what do you mean there's no reason? Because Tosfos assumes a connection between the what and the why. Right, he says, driving out and killing all the people who are there, that's only the seven nations. But, if the point of this mitzvah is that the land should be de Yisrael, and there shouldn't be non-Jews who might lead us astray, it doesn't matter what type of non-Jew it is, barring a Ger Toshav, who's accepted to live the way the Torah wants him to, not the way he wants us to live, but the way that he should live, right, again, depending whatever you think a Ger Toshav is, based on the 3 day out in the Gemara and on Samach Dalet. Barring that, Tosfos says, look, we don't want non-Jews dwelling in the land. So it makes sense. It's all non-Jews. And that's Nifsak V'Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. That would create a big problem. Now, there are several shito that limit it to only the Sheva Amamin. For example, the Smag in the Sefer HaMitzvot Gadol. He says it's only the Sheva Amamin. This is a function of the previous psukim, namely, destroy the seven nations and don't allow them to remain, but any other nation would be fine. The third position is that it only applies to idolaters because the Isser was only pen yachdiu, right? They might lead you astray to idolatry. Who holds that position? Very small name.
The Rambam.
The Rashba. The Rambam is not 100% clear. The Rashba. No, the Rashba. The Rashba in Chelek Aleph Tshuva Ches. The Rambam is not 100% clear. But the Rashba in Chelek Aleph Tshuva Ches. Paskins that it only applies to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The Minhag for hundreds of years in Eretz Yisrael, it's attested to by many of the poskim who were writing in Eretz Yisrael, was not like the Shulchan Aruch, but was like the Rashba, was to apply it only to to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. There is a fourth position, which is the position of Meiri, right, that in general, none of these prohibitions apply to Umot HaGdurim B'Gidrei HaDatot, right, with basically civilized nations, right? The Miri has a very expansive sheet that basically everything in the first parak, which you should have seen 100 times, every time you do any sukkah in the first parak, Miri is always the one who says, by the way, that doesn't apply nowadays, right? Basically, unless you're, right, because everyone is Gedurim B'Gidrei HaDatot, is civilized and therefore doesn't apply.
Don't they all
sheet
who holds that it's just a
Zion? The Smag. I mean, amongst Tosus others.
I didn't see the whole Tosus, I just saw. No,
Tosus raises the Havamin and says it's not true.
He comes out that way.
It's all non-Jews, the way Shulchan Aruch paskens, right? Again, you guys know this, right? This you did?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
I didn't know this.
Everyone agrees Ger Toshev is fine, right? The problem is, okay, so what's the problem? The problem is that a Ger Toshev, again, there are three devs in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Samach Dalam and Beis. Is a Ger Toshev someone who rejects Avodah Zarah, keeps the Sheva Mitzvos, or keeps all Mitzvos except for the Isra Nevela? Right, that's the position of Rabbi Meir. And then there's 3.5 positions, because the Ravid thinks what that really means is he keeps all Yisurei Kares and no Yisurei Lavin. There's a lot of lumdas in that position, but not for now. The general consensus in Psak is that we paskin like the Chachamim, who say they have to reject, they have to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Right? The problem is the Rambam writes, and this is rejected by the Ravid, the Rambam writes that in order to become a Ger Toshev, you need a formal acceptance in front of Beis Din. Now, if you hold that, you're not out of trouble. Yeah. The Ravid doesn't hold that way. Therefore, many poskim said, look, maybe if we sell the land to Muslims... No, because we only do the Bizman Shel Yovel Noheg. Sorry. We can only do it Bizman Shel Yovel Noheg. We can only do the formal acceptance in front of Beis Din's Bizman Shel Yovel Noheg. Right? Which it's not because of cold, etc. Right? So we can't do it.
Okay.
Good.
What's the connection?
What? It's Xerxes Kosov. Okay, fine. So the first heter that was tried to that the poskim who wanted to support the heter mechira wanted to introduce was sell it to Muslims, because that works according to the Rashba, because they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and that was the minhag Eretz Yisrael for hundreds of years against the Shulchan Aruch, right? There were many poskim in Eretz Yisrael anyways.
Well,
and two,
that
they would sell land to Muslims.
Oh, meaning not outside of Heter Mechira. Yeah,
outside of Heter Mechira. That was just like in general. Right, I should point out, right? I said there are several halachic issues that come up here. I'm focusing on Heter Mechira. But the three issues that at least with my share I'll eventually get to, and maybe we'll do it together, depending on whether we have share tomorrow, I don't know, with this Brist thing, right? This everything we're going to say here becomes relevant for Heter Mechira, one. Two, in the land for peace debates, right? That was one of the big questions that was raised, was how can you, right, sell the land? How can you give away land? Isn't that Lo Sechanim? And the third was just a much more generic problem, which Rav Herzog really dealt with in the 40s, which was, wait a second, we have a modern democratic state, which is that we got because of an agreement to the UN. If we follow halacha as written in Shulchan Aruch, we can't rent land to Muslims, we can't sell land to Muslims, right? That's a slight problem, that's like discrimination, we're going to be in a lot of trouble, this is going to make the beginning of the state quite hard on the international sphere, how do we deal with it, right? Those are like the three big modern questions that relate to Lo Sechanim. So there's a reason why Lo Sechanim in modern Psak becomes very much discussed in a way it wasn't like before the 20th century, right, or the late 19th century. And I, you know, want to quickly go through all three of those issues with at least with my guys. We'll see if we get through it together. So keep in mind that these arguments become very relevant not only for what we're doing now. We'll see how much we get through. So the first heter was introduced with Yishmaelim. Now, why would Yishmaelim be a good heter? So one of two reasons: either you paskin like the Rashba, which again was the minhag of many communities, right, against Shulchan Aruch. That's one. And the second is, you paskin like the Ravid against the Rambam, that you can be a Ger Toshev without formal acceptance. And therefore, if you can determine that a Muslim keeps all Sheva Mitzvos, a particular Muslim at least, so then not only would he be a non-Ovid Avodah Zarah, he would be a Ger Toshev, and then according to everybody it would work. Right? Not according to the Rambam, because the Rambam thinks a Ger Toshev needs formal acceptance in front of Beis Din, but if you paskin like the Ravid, then a Muslim who keeps the Sheva Mitzvos would be, right, would be a Ger Toshev for these purposes, according to everyone, it might be fine. Okay?
Might be.
It would be fine. Right? It would be fine. Okay? So, the first suggestion to be introduced was, again, one of the things you see in Psak is how much hangs in all these theoretical disputes that you saw. That's why I figured, as long as you guys did the sugya, we can now sort of see how this came together. So this was the first svara that was introduced. Viraya, the Yochanan Shadr, Korban al-Avidra, Levar Sheshach, Tzarech Lomar lo Tzachanim, lo Kai Rak, Alman Depolech, lo Ovdei Gilulim. Right, he proves this from the Gemara at the end of Abu Dazar, where you see that that Jews are sending gifts to non-Jews and justifying it by saying they don't worship idolatry. And then during Shemitah, the land will belong to the non-Jew. But he says there's no proof, because maybe all the cases in the Gemara where you see Jews giving gifts to non-Jews, that's only because of Darkei Shalom, which are special heterim within Manas Chinam, but you haven't done that yet, that's fine. And this posek had said maybe it's mutter because of hefsed, because of extreme loss, and this was also part of the minhag, right? One of the minhagim of Sak was to rely on the Rashba at least b'makom hefsed. But then it's as I said, didn't like it, and he says v'ms. Said, I don't like it because you're running away from the Rabbanan and you're playing with fire. You're playing with the daraisa. You run away from the wolf and you met the lion. Right? You want to escape, but they're abundant of Shemitah, Lurov Poskim, who pug up Isher, Mechiris, Karkal, of Yigulmer, Zoshu, Isher, Darais, Lukule Alma. Says, I don't buy it. What are this? You're relying on Kulos in Los Echanim. To what? To escape, but they're abundant. Right? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, what I gave you, I took most of this, just the Makaros, because I didn't want to retype like the Chazon Ish and things like this, from a source sheet by one of my Rebbeim in YU, Ray Schwartz. Good for him. He retyped the Chazon Ish. Good for him. I have no interest. Okay. Let's... Okay, let's skip down. Go all the way to the bottom. We'll come back to Chazon Ish in a minute. Go to the Mishpat Kohen. Who's Mishpat Kohen?
The Anani Yisrael.
Who is he? It's Rav Kook. Rav Kook. Rav Kook. Okay, remember, Rav Kook was one of the major poskim in favor. So he writes as follows. And basically, the whole rest of the page is Rav Kook, right? Both in Mishpat Kohen and in Shvi'is Sa'aretz. And you'll see several of the arguments that he introduces, which will all shed light on the nature of Lo Sechonim as he understood it. So he says, "V'ata im be'emes gadol tchak otoli bazechas v'shalom churban yishuv." Right. So first, again, the guys who come to my Tuesday night know that if you're reading Psak, right, I don't want you to read it only like a lamdan. I do want you to care about the lamdas, but I want you to realize that this lamdas isn't happening in a vacuum. Right. There clearly is a stated goal here. This is clearly shasat tchak. No one is denying that would push these poskim to come up with these chidushim with shasat chak. No one is denying that. That also means that they don't have to be as convinced of these arguments as they would be, you know, in a vacuum. This is not a vacuum, right? It's not a vacuum. So, not everything you will find totally convincing. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But remember, the poskim don't need it to be 100% convincing. They need it to be convincing enough that they're willing to rely on it. So Rav Kook tells you that this isn't just a regular shasat chak. This is a super shasat chak because it threatens the entire Zionist dream, right? Meaning it threatens churban hayishuv, the total destruction of settlement in Israel, right? This is not like, right? Rav Kook is aware of what is at stake. So he says near it the yesh lahatir milsa derabanan limkor al pi derech hamechir shel chometz and huga b'makom chak. Said, therefore, I'm willing to rely on a heter, which is similar to Mechiras Chametz, which was also instituted because of pressing economic need. V'lismoch, so now the heterim. First, the Shme'elim She'enim Ovde Avodah Zarah Ein Ba'en Iser Shalchanaya Bekarka. Heter one is the Yishme'elim. Vim Nemar Dein Kinin L'Nachil Afkiyam Yad Ma'iser Hayam Makom Lomar D'lo Kaimalon B'Iser Mechira Taima D'Mafkiyam Ma'iser. So first he says, well, maybe if you hold that the non-Jew doesn't remove chiyuvim from the karka, so it doesn't create a problem of mafkia maestros, which is like a secondary concern when you sell land, right? But he said, that's not my main problem. Ha'ekru tamid lo sechanem lo titan lem chanei bakarka, right? The real issue you have to deal with is lo sechanem. And now Rav Kook makes the next move, right? Which is, there's two possible heterim, right? One is to paskin straight up like the Rajba, right? Namely that lo sechanim doesn't apply to non-ovde avodah zarah. And possibility two is to paskin like the Ravid against the Rambam, which might bring Shulchan Aruch onto your side, right? Which is an important thing. Which is to claim that anybody who keeps the Sheva Mitzvahs, whether or not they formally accept in front of Beis Din, is a Ger Toshav, in which case, even Shulchan Aruch would be Modeh, that a given Muslim who you know doesn't steal, kill, eat live animals, blaspheme, v'chadomeh.
Does the Shulchan Aruch paskin wait either on the Ravid?
I don't think he has a simon on it, if I remember. I have to look, but I don't think he paskins on it.
What's his normal between the Mahal and the Ravid? Does he like always go with the Ravid?
No, he theoretically his rule is 2 out of 3, right? But this position of the Rambam is unique to the Rambam. It's not in the Rif, and normally when the Rambam is a position which is not in the Rif, Shulchan Aruch passes against him, right? In general, is a rule of thumb, though it's not always true. The Shulchan Aruch's rule that he passes best of three, right? Rif, Rambam, Rush, basically means that he passes against the Rambam unless the Rambam has a Chiddush. Right, that's basically the effect of it.
Right,
meaning he paskins like the Rambam, right. Unless. But in this case, I don't know if the Rif weighs in. I have to look.
He was on certain sectors of
correct.
Applicable to Rambam on all of halacha. So
correct.
The Rif might have had an opinion, but he didn't write it down because it was not
correct. And but then Shulchan Aruch, what he does in those cases is often then he relies on other shittot as well. Right, he tells you that he doesn't always rely on the big three, especially if not all of them weigh in. Right, I don't think I have to look whether he weighs in. I don't think he does. So Rav Kook introduces so far two heterim, right? Either we paskin straight up like the Rashba, which again was the minhag of many post Eretz Israel, right, like 500 years ago. Two is maybe we paskin derive it against the Rambam, that Ger Toshev doesn't require formal acceptance, and therefore a good from Yishmeli, right, might be a Ger Toshev. Again, the Rambam has other shita that make it hard to be a Ger Toshev. There are two shita in the Rambam that make it hard for a Muslim to be a Ger Toshev. One is you need formal acceptance in front of Beis Din. That you're not getting, right? Especially since it only is Bizman Shah Yovel Noeg, right?
Right.
The second, that it has to be in a time when Yovel is applicable, which it isn't right nowadays. The second is the Rambam thinks that it's not enough to keep the Sheva Mitzvos. You have to keep the Sheva Mitzvos because God commanded them to Moshe at Sinai, right? That limits your pool.
Well, the Muslims...
Well, yeah, yes, loved him, whether that would count. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, sort of. Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, they
hope so. And then, right, he notes this, right? He says,
also,
right?
Don't you need a card to try for the other sex?
To try? No, that's how the Rambam understands. According to Ramban, it just means they have to set up a legal system.
Okay, yeah, I'll set up that, yeah.
Okay, I mean, they might. I mean, they're oh, please. The Muslims don't have courts that enforce stealing and blasphemy?
All six.
I don't know. I have no idea. I honestly, I don't know. I don't know.
Also,
do you know that? Do you know that they don't enforce Eber Menachai? I mamish have no idea.
I just have never heard of it.
They for sure do.
I feel like they do, but I don't know.
So mocked on everything, dude.
It's true that you have... Sharia
law.
I'm saying they are pretty strict on kashras, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. He said, though from Riyat Anir to Talib Apluk to the Rambam Varavid, right? He said, at first glance, this relies on the Rambam and Ravid. The Rambam cause of Dan Gertosh of Noeg, Kiyam is Manchi Yovel Noeg. The Rambam holds that you can only have Gertosh when the Yovel is Noeg. Umash, Megamlin, Yeshiva, Chanan, Bekarka, Tarach, Dafka, Shikab, Venesh, Losh, Eshelo, Lavad, of a Dazar, which sounds like for all purposes, the Rambam thinks anytime Gertosh is relevant, you need a formal acceptance in front of Beis Din. But the Ravid argues that at least for these purposes, for dwelling in the land, it's not true. Okay? So it's not 100% clear the Ravid would paskin that way for this purpose, but it sounds like it. Amidas gets a mishmash gamma Rambam modeling yeshiva, and he said the Kesem Mishnah actually is a chiddush that even the Rambam is modeh for this, that at least for certain purposes the Rambam will accept that we have ger toshav b'zman hazeh, just not for everything. Maybe the Rambam only means, and this is what the Kesem Mishnah says, that we don't have ger toshav for every single halacha, but for some we might. Shrav Kook notes that there's a bunch of shita you could be mitzarif that would point in the direction that you could sell to a Muslim. That's basically his point, right? Straight up Rajba, that it's not over the Avodah Zarah, and then the Ravid and certain interpretations of the Rambam that for some purposes we have a Ger Toshav.
Also the Smog, yeah?
And the Smog. Yes, we can be a Mitzar of the Smog if you want also. That's only Shavah Amman. Correct. The MSDH Lomer Dinesh Navkamina Bain Linia Nadvaram Shanamar Bain Batora Ger, Diminin Dafka Ger Toshav Gamor. And then Rav Kook adds this lamdus, and he says maybe the Rambam only needs ger toshav mamish, like acceptance from a Beis Din, when the pasuk says ger, such as the mitzvah to support the ger toshav, right? Like to give him food, give him money.
Right.
Because in those cases you have to support him like you would a Jew. He makes this very sharp point. He says, sometimes you need a ger because the Torah says ger. Sometimes ger toshav is just not the problematic guy. And he says, maybe even the Rambam will be modeh that when we learn ger toshav by implication, we can be more expansive. Because you'd say, look, he may not be a formal ger toshav such that I have to support him, but he isn't the problematic Ovid Avodah Zarah that I don't want in the land. Right, and therefore, Rav Kook argues that maybe the Rambam would be modeh le'inar chakosh and first benin avodah zarah. Why? Because he says, remember Tosos, the svara of the pasuk is clearly that we want to avoid avodah zarah. Right, and therefore, it could be that for these purposes, we would interpret ger toshav in light of the tam hadavar, because as we've already established, the Rishonim think that by lo sechanim, the connection between the what and the why is very close, and therefore define ger toshav more expansively in Lo Sechanim than we would elsewhere. Im Kain Yesh Lomar Pashut Demahani Kol Shabar La Nusheinu B'chal Zeh B'frat Uma Shleima Muchzekes B'kach Al Pidata. So therefore anyone who we know is non-idolatrous, or Kal V'chomer, someone who's part of a religion that is non-idolatrous, it should be mutter to sell them land. V'yesh Lomar Shleinyan Hadin Dein Malin Shapir Lo Boi Prat Yiger Toshav. And then he goes on and says, it's clear to me that those halachot of, you know, not actively killing goyim and saving them and things like that, that isn't a formal question, right? Like if you had a tzaddik of a goy who just hadn't had a Beis Din accept him and he's dying in the bottom of a pit, Rav Kook says, obviously, right? This guy is a monotheist, he believes in God, he is willing to go in front of Beis Din, were there to be a Beis Din, and accept the Sheva Mitzvos because God gave them, and he is in the middle of curing cancer and whatever, you're just going to let him die at the bottom because, like, formally he's not a Ger Toshav? Rav Kook says, I can't accept that even the Rambam would say such a thing. Right? He said, there must be different Gedarim of Ger Toshav. And therefore, that is the... Okay. So let's skip to the end of, to the next paragraph. Okay, because the rest of the paragraph doesn't deal with Lo Sechanim, but that's his first set of heterim within Lo Sechanim, which is to limit the who. Yes. Good. Right. Rav Kook's first avenue is to limit the who. Right, in Lo Sechanim. Right, expansively, either the Rajba or a contextually defined Ger Toshav. Okay. Good. Now, then he adds a very lumdish suggestion. Okay? Let me say it outside. Remind me, how many things do we learn from Lo Sechanim?
Three.
Good. What are they?
Karka, Vein, Matana.
Okay, be more careful. What's the third one?
Don't give them Matanas.
Manas Chinam.
Yeah.
Right, manas chinam. What's manas chinam?
Free.
For no reason.
Right.
Right? So certain poskim, and Rav Kook seems to hint at this, so certain poskim may say it even more explicitly than he did, said, wait a second, maybe there's a connection between the three, which is, don't give chanaya bekarka to non-Jews if...
there's no purpose.
Yeah, if there's... or no purpose for Jews. Meaning, don't give them chanaya for their sake. Right. But...
it's to benefit us.
But if it's to benefit us, specifically what? It's not just a random benefit. It's to, right, what's the point? We shouldn't let them dwell in the land. But if we're giving them temporary dwelling in the land, why?
So we can dwell in the
land, right? So, first of all, it's not chinam. Second of all, if the nature of the Isser is don't mean mechazek yidei akum b'yishuv haaretz, if you're giving them a chazaka in the land, not for them, but to mechazek, the yishuv of Jews, so it might be mutter. Right? Now, let me rephrase this, not the way Rav Kook does, but the way Rav Asher Weiss does. Right? And several other Achronim did. Right? Rav Asher Weiss develops this from the Achronim, and he notes that according to the Rambam, what pasuk do you learn the Isser to sell non-Jews from? Wrong. Right? Wrong. Right? The Rambam says explicitly not. The Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvos and Mitzvah Nun says, where do you learn, what do you learn from Lo Sechonim? No one learns that. No, that's not the Ikar Drasha according to anybody. Don't show them favor, right? The Ikar Drasha is Lo Sechonim. So the Rambam says, how do we know that you're not allowed to give them land? Mitzvah Nun Aleph. From a different pasuk of Lo Yeshvu Bar Tzacha. Right? Lo Yeshvu Bar Tzacha. So Rav Asher Weiss notes that there's several Achronim who said, wait a second, who cares? Because the Rambam, by the way, at the end of Mitzvah Nun Aleph says, and this is what the Gemara hinted at with Lo Sechonim. Meaning, according to the Rambam, the fact that you can't sell land to non-Jews is an asmacht of Lo Sechonim, but is actually derived from Lo Yeshvu Bar Tzacha. Good. What's the difference? Who cares where you learn it from? Good, but what's the difference?
Now the why isn't as close to the
one. Ah, well, not quite. Okay. Right, not quite. The way the acronym suggests is what's the difference between, if you formulate it, lo titen lemchanaya bekarka, what sounds like the Isser? Don't?
Give
them land. Don't sell them land. What is the nature of the Isser? Lo yeshvu bar tzecha?
Don't let them live.
Don't let them dwell, which is much more?
Permanence.
Permanence. It implies permanence. Right? Meaning it's not an act, it's not the act, or
right.
It's not the maisa, it's the totsa'ah.
Yeah.
Right? And therefore several achronim said, what's the nafkamina? So some said, if you learn it from lo titem lehem chanaya bekarka, you can't sell them land no matter what. But what if the problem is giving them a dwelling in the land, is the totsa'ah, right, the result of having them dwell in the land. So what might be mutter?
Selling for just 1 year.
Good. Temporary selling might be a nafkamina.
Right.
Right? And another is?
To Easter.
Selling to people who already live in the land. Right? Who, whether or not you sell to them, they live there. Or chalipin, trading land, which is in certain poskim. Right? But basically, Rav Asher Weiss knows that there's a whole tradition in Achronim who said that if you focus on Lo Sechonim as really being about not a formal prohibition on selling, but a totsa-oriented Isser of don't give them the ability to dwell in the land if it's temporary. Or they already live here anyways. So many Achronim argue that it might be mutter. And these types of arguments come up in Heter Mechira because it's a temporary sale to Muslims who already own other lands.
Right.
Right? And therefore, right, it might be mutter. So you'll see Rav Kook goes in some of these directions. And he says, V'yoser yesh lomar kamod ha-perish haran perek ha-shalech al-shichur evet l'dvar mitzvah demutter mitam lo sechonim neser davka j'vechaven l'tovasam. Right? Heter number one. Or two, that he... Right, first hedge was people. Second one is, maybe you think that Lo Sechanim is linked to, Lo Sechanim of Karka is linked to Matnas Chinam, and therefore it's only us if it's for no reason. But in this case, it is Litzorech Yisrael, and therefore, it's Mutter. V'chanami Lo Shayech Isser Dechanayi B'Karka B'mechira Kazoshi Derech Harama Lafki M'gdush HaShviyas K'dei Sh'yuchol Lavad B'Heter. It's just a Harama to allow us to work during Shemitah. Shehu Hi L'tova Seinu K'dei Sh'yizchazu Yisrael B'Karka. It's just a Heter to allow us to continue dwelling in the land. Uktas Mashma Kein B'Bacharos. And then he notes that this seems to be implied in a Gemara in B'Bacharos. Right now, he says this is not great, but okay. Right, look two lines and then to the paragraph. He says, "V'adavar mistaber gamken shechivan sheyisod adavar l'tovi yisrael l'aser torah befrat sheedu sheli tisharet karka biyado shel nachri va'achar shviz yachzur imken yisrael." So now he brings two heterim. Right, that's heter three. He said, therefore, it might be mutter if it's l'tovis yisrael, and we know it's not permanent. Which again, I've given you the conceptual background, the way Rav Asher sort of more sharply puts it than Rav Kook, which is if you think the Isser is, give them dwelling, not just the formal act of sale, so then this is not dwelling, it's temporary by nature. He said, my biggest problem here is that it's actually a harama, and everybody knows it. Right? Everyone knows this is harama. The non-Jew never plans on using the land, and he's giving it right back to us, and we're working it the whole time as a subletter. Right? He says, okay, fine. He said, you're right. But he said, what's the worst that'll happen? Let's say all of my svaras are wrong, except for the Rajba. So then it's mutar l'chatchila to actually sell it to them.
Yeah.
Right? So he said, this isn't the only svara. He said, worst comes to worst, I'm relying on the Rajba, and maybe the Ravid, and maybe an expanded understanding of the Rambam. That's all to say that even if I sold it in such a way that to sell it to an Akum would actually be lo sechanim. All these svaras are why it might be mutar to sell it to an outright idolater. Yeah. Right? He says, I'm not relying on one kula by itself. I'm getting you three and a half distinct, right? Kulot, Letovas HaYisrael, and therefore it's only Derabbanan. Anyway, Shemitah Bezmanazah, and therefore he says it is Mutter. And that was his argument. Now in Shabbat HaAretz, because they already own land and it's temporary, right? And if you think the nature of the Isser is not selling but giving him dwelling, correct. Right, now he doesn't put it that way, Rav Asher does, and notes that that's how Pesach takes it, right? Okay. Rav Asher doesn't say it, Rav Asher says it much more clearly than Rav Kook. Rav Kook thinks that might even be within Lo Sechanim, right? Rav Asher explains that several Achronim point to the fact that that may be because it's not really from Lo Sechanim, it's from Lo Yeshu Bar Tzacha. Right, I can give you the piece, but Rav Asher is much clearer on this point than Rav Kook. In the next piece from Shabbat Aretz, you see the next hat there, right? Which is v'yesh lomer de begoy shvelava yesh lo chan begoy shvelava yesh lo chanem bekarke ein right? That if the goy already owns land, so that this is not a bigger problem, right? Right. So now we have right again. So just to review it, you have right the person hat there, which divides, which is either paskin like the Rajba, right? That is only ovdei avodah zarah or an expanded ger toshav. Right? Now this would be, the implication of this would be to mamish sell. Right? It would be mutter. Right? Then, based on the way Rav Asher understands it, which I think is slightly clearer than Rav Kook, right? You say that the Isser is lo yeshvu, right? Which is to give dwelling rather than sell. Right? It's not the act of sale that's the problem. So, therefore, you might have a heter if, right? He already owns land. Right? Because then you're not enabling to dwell. Or three, if it's l'sha'a. It's only temporary because then you're not giving him permanent dwelling either. Right? And then these heterim are based on this.
Yeah.
Right? And then there was the connection between matnas chinam and chanayah bakarka, which is, it's for a reason. Right? It's for us. Okay? One more piece from Rav Kook. He says, "Hakdama." This is the Hakdama to Sefer Shabbos Aretz. V'zod l'modai kol advarim asher hirtzeiti mevo l'hamlitz alachinu yishvei admat kodshenu tivonev v'sikonein. Right. This is what I wrote to encourage those who live in Eretz Yisrael that it should be built. Tivonev v'sikonein. It should continue to be built. Hasomchim al etar nahog misham Moshe avru. There's probably shmita shavru. Halpi haraz chachamim shematzu daranachon laharos ba'alach l'maiz l'rasha. Lobau ki im lahodiesh lahashvas is a ovdim alalu osim is masim al pihara misuderet ovrechok tartena kdosha khalila. He said, right, this is to defend them to say they're not violating the Torah. And then he goes on to explain, right, that this was the only way they would have parnasa. And, right, they're investing a lot of money in building the agriculture and the fields and the orchards, etc. And they think that if they do this, right, it will destroy not just this year's economy, but all the trade, right, all the economic trade, all the treat, you know, the economic relationships they've built. It'll destroy the economy long term,
yeah.
Right? And therefore, he says, right? That's what you should do, right? He has a very poetic, right, description of why you have to do this. Okay, this is really just him saying we should judge them favorably, we should do this, etc., etc., okay? But these are the main Lumdish, right, points that came out from Rav Kook and other people's analysis of why they were matir, the Lo Sechanim problem for the Heter Mechira. Now, the person who really didn't like this, like I said, was the Chazon Ish, for several reasons, right? The Chazon Ish said, right, now let's go through it, I'll say it for you outside. He says, you know why I don't like this? Because he takes Lo Sechanim as not a broad thing of Lo Yeshvu, but he thinks it's really an Isser Prati, right? And therefore he says, what are you talking about? He owns land, but you are giving him a hold in this land.
Yeah.
Right? Right? So what are you telling me? This is not Lo Yeshvu Bar Tzecha, it's Lo Yeshvu in this land. Right, he says, I don't know, right? So if you look at the Chazon Ish,
you mean like an Eretz Yisrael, what? Itself, or you mean like a region in Eretz Yisrael?
So whatever you sell him, he didn't dwell there before, now he does. Yeah. Right, he says, Ein chilub beinim kvar yesh lo la'akum karka lo. V'chol bayit nisad ha-shemoshalem hu adin nozen chanoya la'akum bekarka zeh. So what do you mean? He has dwelling in the land generically. Right? I view it more prati. Right? Don't sell land. You're giving him this land. That's one. And then the second, then this point, the chinam one, is that what you said it is, right? Livrevach Yisrael. He says, what are you talking about? No one ever said, lo tichonem, lo titem lem chanaya bakarka b'chinam. Those are three different Yisurim. They aren't related, right? Right? Meaning this assumes that all three are connected. He says, why do you assume they're connected? Right? They're not connected. And therefore, yes, it's true that a gift is only usher if it's lechinam, but not if, right? But not the isser of good. And therefore, he thinks it is usher. Then he comes up with a very, very lumdish svara, right? And he says, basically, until the Chazon Ish, everybody felt that even if it was usher to do the Heter Mechira, if you did it, it worked, right? But Rav Kook, the Chazon Ish said not. You know why?
They can't own land in Eretz Yisrael.
Because he said like this. How does the Heter Mechira happen, Charlie? Right? The farmers give the land, they give a yipui koach, right? They give power of attorney to the Rabbanut to sell the land on their behalf.
Right.
So he says, wait a second. If it's usher to sell the land, they're selling it through a shliach. And shliach, angel of Varavera. So if it's usher, it doesn't even work.
Right.
Right? Now, that was why in the previous Shemitah, Ravidman decided to find a way of getting around it, which is instead of becoming the shliach, correct, instead of becoming the shliach of the, right, instead of becoming the shliach of the farmers, he bought the land from the farmers and then he sold it. So even if the Chazon Ish would think it's usher, he would think it works.
And he was the middle
right?
man made a profit.
What?
Profit.
No, he didn't. He just happened to be the person that was doing it for the Rabbanut, which was a good heter. But anyways, this is in a snapshot, right? The way that Lo Sechanim was applied and defended within the context of the Heter Mechira. Okay? We have a few more minutes, so let me quickly do Ariel. Not here. Okay. I'll very quickly do the land for peace machlokas. Okay? Very quickly.
First of all, why would it be a manas chinam anyway? Because there's a sale.
No, that's not.
No. So it's not manas chinam. It's chanaya bakarka, and that's part of the Chazon Ish's argument. He's like, what do you mean? Right? Meaning every sale is not bechinam.
Right.
So how can you say that chinam? Right? I mean, there's a good reason to reject this connection, right?
Yeah.
Which is that no, right? A sale is never chinam. You're getting paid for it, and yet we said it's also. Right?
So
why are you connected?
That whole story is that.
Is that the Matnas Chinam sheds light on the nature of Lo Sechanim, right? That's the poskim don't like. I like this one the least. These I can buy, right? Which are very lumdish. This one is the easiest.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, Rav Kook notes that. Rav Kook notes that of them, the
that's
most blot one is to say the Rajba says it's only of Devo Dezara.
Yeah.
And according to the Ravid, we can expand Ger Toshav.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
And as Rav Asher documents, right, very nicely in his piece, right, the Minog Eretz Yisrael for hundreds of years was against the position of the Shulchan Aruch, right? Was in favor of the Rashba, right? So that's pretty good, right? That's pretty good as things go, right? Other than that, I think the strongest. Like, these are much more lumdish, right? But this is probably the strongest. Okay. Stay. You're just cold?
You're freezing.
It's like your Texan blood. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, but let me quickly throw out how this related to, as I said, a totally different topic, which was land for peace. Okay? So, land for peace. Very quickly. Very, very quickly. Okay? Why would it be usser and why would it be mutter? So,
what exactly is land for peace?
Okay, good. So what is land for peace? Right, so a big machlokes erupted amongst the poskim, which was when the State of Israel started talking about, and which we've done several times at this point, Gaza, you know, down south, in Sinai, although that may not be technically Eretz Yisrael, but whatever, we would trade land as part of a peace deal. Is that mutter? Okay? So, the most extreme formulation was to say, look, whether or not it's usher under normal circumstances to give land to non-Jews, this is pikuach nefesh, right? And therefore it's mutter. Some of the people who didn't like this said that's wrong because it's Yehareg Vel Yavor. Correct. Why is it Yehareg Vel Yavor? So not quite Yehareg Vel Yavor. No, this was a fancy lumdus.
Oh,
fancy lumdus.
It's to prevent you from kind of a zara, which is
no, that would be not that fancy. Well, maybe fancier. I don't know. The Minchas Chinuch has the following kasha. Minchas Chinuch says, how is it that you're allowed to go to war? Right? How is it you're allowed to go to war to conquer Eretz Yisrael? All mitzvahs in the Torah, right, are Yavar Vayaharig, but war, people are going to die. So how are you allowed to go to war? So Minchas Chinuch and Mechadesh, that war for Eretz Yisrael, right, doesn't have the heter of Yaharig Vayavar, and therefore you're allowed to risk your life for it. Right? It breaks the rules. Right? It's not like one of the big three. It's just Yotzei Min HaKlal. War, especially if Eretz Yisrael, it's just mutter to put your life in danger.
Right.
But by the corollary, right, was that maybe the normal dinim of Pikuach Nevesh don't apply to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And therefore there were certain poskim who wanted to argue.
I don't see a connection.
Well, why does Eretz Yisrael get any end landing at all?
But anyways, this was the argument that was this was one of the arguments that was made by many sort of Zionist posts. Kim was this Minchas Chinuch. Okay, fine. That's argument one, right? That would categorically eliminate this entire discussion.
Yeah.
Leave that aside. Possibility two was no, we don't paskin that way, right? If it really saved lives, it would be mutter,
right?
The question is, does it save lives? And then a fascinating methodological machlokas erupted, which was, who gets to decide whether it's pikuach nefesh, which is a mitzius question.
Yeah.
Do poskim get to decide mitzius? Or does the government get to decide mitzius? Right, and this was a big machlokas. Rav Schechter represented the Rav's position very, very clearly, which was that mitzius questions like that, and Reluchonstein here really pushed this. What?
What do you mean gets to decide? One of them is true.
Correct, but on a medical shiloh. A medical shiloh, the posik can say, if something is pikuach nefesh, it's mutter on Shabbos. So but the rabbi doesn't decide whether or not it's pikuach nefesh. He asks the doctor, and the doctor says it is or is not pikuach nefesh.
Yeah, whoever's the most expert in the area. Yeah.
Correct, so that's what Rav Schechter said, right? Rav Schechter sort of channeling the Rav, and Rav Lichtenstein said this as well, the Rav Schechter was even clearer, said, look, and Rav Avadia said this as well, right? Theoretically, it's mutter mishum pikuach nefesh, and Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Schechter were very vocal about this, felt that, look, rabbis just set out the principles, but they're not the ones who can decide the mitzvahs, whether this will save lives or not.
Who's on the other side of the issue?
Now, there were other posts came out. The strongest version I saw was from Rav Malamud, who said, no, rabbis decide mitzvahs because, what? Like Panini Halacha. Like Panini Halacha. Right? Like Panini Halacha, major religious Zionist posek. Right? That whole set over there, that whole shelf. Right? He said, in a shocking moment, in a discussion he had in Gush, which was written up in a, you know, I have the book at home. He said, no. He said, all reality is seen through a lens. Right? Right? And he said, only rabbis who truly internalize the value of Eretz Yisrael will see the Metzius in the right way. Right? And therefore he says, it's possible, but... Yeah, that was quite striking. Okay, fine.
Everybody's biased besides rabbis?
Yes.
No, he's saying rabbis are the most biased, and so we should only listen to them.
Yeah, they're biased Latova. Right, exactly. Fine. So that was interesting. But Toch Kedei the Diyun... Right, was wait a second, what is the potential halachic issue here at all?
Yeah.
Right, so obviously the major issue, if you aren't interpreting this as a din melchama, right, was lo sachanim.
Right.
Now, Rav Lichtenstein had an exchange with Rav Avram Shapira's grandson, who was channeling his grandson-in-law. Rav Avram Shapira was the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz HaRav, and was a leading posek in the Chardal community. Right, and Rav Lichtenstein was, right... was, you know, in the non-Chardal part of the Dati Lumi world. So they had an exchange back and forth. And there were many things that went on in that exchange. But one of them was that Rav Lichtenstein said, look, I find this whole thing ironic because as Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz HaRav, meaning the heir to the throne of Rav Kook, and Ad Hayom, the Chardal Nikim, right, are the most like Lahut after the Heter Mechira. Rav Kook said it's mutter, even though Rav Kook said you have to re-examine it and things like that. No, Rav Kook said it's mutter lechatchila, 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 lechatchila. Right?
Right.
And Rav Lichtenstein, being a good brisker, is like, you know, I don't know. It's very mechudish, I don't know, maybe want to be machmir, you know. And he basically ate like, you know, for his first few Shemitahs in Israel, like a few like moldy potatoes during the entire Shemitah, right? As I've heard from Tova Lichtenstein. So he said, I find it very ironic that the heirs to the Heter Mechira, who every seventh year say, ah, sell the land to the Ishmaelim, the entire country, right? Suddenly it comes like it's a right-wing political issue. Should we or should we not make peace if that means trading land? And you're throwing Lo Sachanim in my face. Right?
It's true.
Right? No, but what was the response? What was Rosh Shapira's response? Right, through his grandson? Come on. Said no!
Oh, these are exactly the people we don't want in line.
No, this! That the Isser is permanence! Right? A trade, a land swap is permanent, is the Isser of Lo Yeshvu. You're giving them hold in land that they didn't have control of.
Wow.
Right? But the Heter Mechira is temporary.
What about the Rashba, though?
Good, and that was where it got a bit disingenuous. So Lichtenstein turned back to them, right? Lichtenstein said, wait a second. Lichtenstein said, wait a second. Don't pull Lo Sachanim. First of all, you celebrate this, right? Second of all, what do you mean? If you think Muslims are not over the Avodah Zarah, or you can run the expanded Ger Toshev of Rav Kook, there's no problem with Lo Sachanim, of giving them karka, mazeh.
Yeah.
Right? Right? And but the response was, nah, this is really... Now, I don't know if this is really what Rav Kook said, but at least Rav Shapira's grandson said, no, this is the main heter. The main heter is that we're opposed to giving them a stronghold in the land, not selling per se, and therefore a temporary sale, right, to someone who already owns land, but really the temporariness...
I don't care about main or not main. Either way, the
that's
first thing is going to make
a mechira.
For sure, that's what Lichtenstein said. Lichtenstein said, I don't understand. You people celebrate the mechira, which in many ways is reliant on this, that they're not over the Avodah Zarah, right? He said, you're just using halacha for politics.
Right.
Right? You're using halacha for politics, because when it suits your need, right, the Zionist thing to do is to sell land to Arabs for a year. Suddenly, Arabs are not over the Avodah Zarah, and there's no Israel of Lo Yeshvu, and whatever, right? And now it's the left-wing thing to give up land. No! The Isser is it's even to Yishmaelim. Right? This is politics. Rav Shapira's response was no. Maybe it's based on this. Right?
But it's not just
right?
based on
no. Correct, it's not. And look, I'm a Talmud of Rav Lichtenstein. Right? You're not going to like... Right? Rav Lichtenstein's... I mean, ostensibly, Rav Lichtenstein is... Look. They both have a point.
He's right.
If the heter was about this,
that's the only heter,
right?
Yeah.
If the heter was only about this,
yeah,
namely the already owned land, right? Or you're not, or whatever, is owned the Shah, so
true.
Fine. Then land for peace would be worse because you're giving them permanence, and this is only temporary. But if, well, maybe the owned land, we can reject it for the Chazon Ish reason, but this one, that they're not over the Avodah Zarah, if you accept that as the main heter, which I think Rav Kook actually did, for the heter Mechira, namely that...
The main heter.
What?
Who Who cares if it's the main hedge or not? Even if the second reason is the main hedge.
Correct, but still true. No, but remember, Ellie, remember I said don't approach this like a lambda, approach it like a posek. Remember, this is all with the backdrop of Shasat Chak.
Yeah, so...
So then if you want to say you don't want to give it to them because you don't want to...
Well, that's what Lichtenstein was highlighting. But in the end of the day, I think that the... Look, you read Rav Kook, I think Rav Kook really believed this one. Right, many poskim really felt that you could rely on the fact that Arabs were not
definitely much more.
Right, the strongest halachically is just relying on the Rashba.
Yeah.
Right. If that's the case, then Lichtenstein said this is all politics.
Right.
You just when you want it to be usher to sell lands to Muslims, then it's usher. When you want it to be mutter, then it's mutter. Right. Lichtenstein said no. Right. Right. Right.
Very weak.
So therefore, but one of these interesting things, and you can read the exchange, it's a fascinating discussion of how halacha relates to politics, and how you deal with Shasat Chak and the like. Also, it's a lot of harifas, because, you know, Rav Kook, at some point this grandson of Rav Shapira was a very big Talmud Chacham. His grandson-in-law, you know, I'm sure it's a Talmud Chacham, and he quotes a bunch of shittot at some point to try to disprove Lichtenstein, and Lichtenstein makes a comment of how, you know, it's not very impressive for someone to run a search on Bar Ilan to disimprove him. You know,
I was
like, what?
Is that what he said?
Yes. Right. Yes. I mean, I can try to find the quote, right?
That is fire. That's not very
fire. It's quite a fascinating. The whole exchange, by the way, was translated into English. You can read it on Tradition's website. It was, and there was even like an analysis written of it of how it indicates the way Rav Lichtenstein felt that halacha and politics interact. Right, and how this sugya was indicative of his approach to the nature in general. I'll just see if I can just find you these lines. Right, Rav Lichtenstein had said to him, let's see.
Straight fire.
The Pikuach Nefesh. Right, he says, however, it is a matter of public knowledge that you permit the sale of the land of Israel in order to cope with the problems of the sabbatical year, and even encourage people to rely on this device. The problem of Los Achanim also arises in connection with this sale, and as is well known, leading authorities have discussed the issue since the days of Kook Tzatzal. Among the arguments for leniency, it has been proposed that the prohibition only applies to the seven Canaanite nations, Smag, or at the very least, that is limited to idolaters, Rashba, a category that does not include Muslims. It is my impression that some authorities hold with respect to allowing non-Jews to acquire property, like Ramban and others, with respect to a gift. There's no prohibition when the transfer is motivated by his own benefits, Rav Kook, right? Right? Meaning Rav Kook says that, who you're relying on. Whether it's a good argument or not, you are following Rav Kook, and therefore you should take him seriously, right? As opposed to the needs of the recipient. Do you reject these two views totally and permit the sale of the land for the sabbatical year for different reasons? Or do you rely on those opinions under circumstances of dire need so that you are of the opinion that a security need exists? You too would rely on the positions to resolve the problem of Lo Sechanim, right? Meaning he pointed the question, is it that you are rejecting this argument or you just think that this is not a good time to sell and you're hiding it in, right, halachic argumentation?
Right.
Right? Again, this is not the whole thing.
Wait, why don't it's so easy. They can just say, it's not actually going to stop the sakana.
Well, so, no.
You can so easily say that.
Well, of course, you could say that, but that comes down to who gets to decide the facts.
Right.
Right? That was why, and that was Rav Yair Khan wrote an article on this, right? That probably the biggest issue really at hand was, right, is what do rabbis think their role is within determining facts, especially not like easily discernible facts, but like political realities,
yeah.
Right? Do rabbis take that on themselves? So this grandson responded, again, his name is, I'll tell you, it was Rav Avram Yisrael Stilevsky, Silvetsky. Anyways, was regarding Kvo Torato's question concerning the prohibition of Lo Sechanim, Kvo Torato asked how Mori Zekeni Shlita can rely on leniencies regarding the prohibition of Lo Sechanim with respect to the Hedra Mechira, whereas in this connection he refused to rely on any leniency. The question has a ready answer. Beyond the various differences between this Hedra Mechira and the matter at hand, surely all the poskim who accept the Hedra Mechira join together various grounds for leniency, but the primary argument underlying the allowance is that we are dealing with a temporary sale, right? He denies it. Right? What does he do? Rav Shapira apparently said no. Right? It must be that this was the main heter, Lashah. Right? You read Rav Kook, it doesn't sound like that
really
at all. Right? Right? But he makes the claim that it must be that the main heter is Lashah. Right?
Main means.
Whatever. And then he says, right? selling the land for a fixed period of time guarantees the long-term settlement of the country, even the areas being temporarily sold to non-Jews. Thus, the provision of the Sechaim does not apply. This is the main reason that great efforts were made to find allowances, and that the rabbis came to rely on even far-fetched grounds for leniency, as the poskim have explicitly stated in their responsa. The argument is so simple that it is unnecessary to explain it at length. It is clarified in the words of the poskim who permitted the sale. But honestly, if you read Rav Kook, right, you look at Rav Kook. Rav Kook says, it sounds like the Iker Heter is this, is the Rajba. Right? Is that it's just Muslims sell to Muslims.
It is a Heter.
What?
Or it's a Heter.
Or at least it's a Heter, right? And this is also a Shas HaTzach, right? Part of the Lachim Din, this is, you know, right?
Right.
Now, I mean, again, if you read it, it really is quite fascinating, because really, Rebbe Stilvetsky really says that a lot of it comes down to, right? The Rav Aaron says, look, I don't think I'm an expert in security. That's why I'm not weighing in on this. And Stilvetsky, like, throws pages at him of how this is not true, right? That no, rabbis know the Metzias better, right? That they should know the Metzias better, which is a very hard argument to make.
Wait, I'm just going to turn to this malfocus. If a rabbi was a doctor, he could weigh in on the doctor.
For sure. If a rabbi was a politician, was a general.
I assume at this time thought they were politicians or actually were.
I don't know, or whatever, right? I
mean, but they weren't right.
At this time, we're talking like 10 years ago.
Rabbis know it better than.
You know,
and Ellie,
even if they were, that doesn't mean, right? If you had two doctors, one was a rabbi and one wasn't, we don't automatically give precedence to one who's a rabbi.
No, and the rabbi thought what he thought.
Fine, but he's fundamentally posking as a politician, not as a rabbi.
Yeah. Well, both. His halacha came from his rabbi.
Because if both poskim agree that it would theoretically be mutter, which Rav Shapira said, if it really would save lives, I would say it's mutter. Right. Once you say that,
I know it will save lives. Like if
correct, but what you're doing is you're saying I'm issuing my psag not by dint of my authority as rabbi, but as my expert as politician. Right, and then you have to wonder: do you really have the authority? Right, if you're the God Lador, your halachic authority has a lot of weight. Your Metzius authority.
So the God Lador is also a doctor because you take this medicine and think it's good.
I mean, look, part of it may also be a bit of a part of it at its core might be a bit of Dastura, right? How much do you believe in it? Right, like if there's a more of a Dastura element, you might think that yeah, rabbis have more understanding of Metzius than anybody else. If you don't buy that, which Wilkinson really didn't, right?
Basically, what it all boils down to at the end of the day is it's an issue of Dastura.
In certain ways. Like I said, the most extreme formulation I saw was Rav Malamud, right? Meaning, you know, Rav Shapira basically said, look, rabbis can also weigh in a Metzias like everybody else, right? It was Rav Malamud who said, no, only rabbis can weigh in a Metzias. Nobody else can see the Metzias with the right colored glasses, right? Which I thought was really quite striking. That's, like I said, land for peace is a much larger sugya than what I just said, but the way it relates to Lo Sechanim, I've given you the basics here. I'll just throw out the third issue that was brought up, which is more complicated, really relates more to the sugya later, was schiros, right? And was regular everyday sales and renting to Muslims. Is that mutter? I mean, this was another case where Lichtenstein really got into big fights with the rabbis, because there was a statement a few years ago by Poskim in Svat, primarily being led by Shmuel Eliyahu, who said, yeah, we can't rent land or sell land to Arabs ever.
How is
your son? He's a son. And Lichtenstein came out very opposed, as did Rebbe Yashiv, which is not normally a team against that psak. And that is part of a much broader thing, because this is a relatively localized one, right? It's a big shiloh, obviously, right? But it doesn't happen every day. The question of everyday sales and renting is obviously a day-to-day shiloh. The posek who most dealt with that, not in the most recent iteration of it, but most systematically dealt with it, was Rav Herzog. Because Rav Herzog was the first chief rabbi, and one of the things that he really devoted his life to was figuring out whether we could manage to give minorities, meaning non-Jews, rights in this country, al pi halacha, in a way that would enable it to function as a liberal democracy. And this is part of that broader discussion. I'm going to do that whenever we do next time. I don't know if it will be with you guys or not with you guys. I don't really know. It all really depends on this bris thing tomorrow and whatever. Okay? Good, but that's at least a little bit on some of the lumdos of Lo Sechanim and how it manifests itself in two of the most heated sort of Eretz Yisrael topics. We got one more to go, but I think this helps. This is one of those cases that, because of the importance halach l'maisa, you get a lot more being fleshed out in psak. I'll point out, right, that like the tshuva that I keep going back to Rav Asher Weiss, to give you an idea of how this, right, it's not just, a lot of the shilas aren't just you're allowed to sell land to Arabs. Like Rav Asher Weiss, the shila he got was, if a city has already become predominantly Arab, right, and therefore you can't sell it to a Jew because the price has plummeted, but you can sell it to an Arab for a decent price, such that you can then go buy another house elsewhere in Eretz Israel. But otherwise, if you sell it to a Jew, it'll be at a low price, and you'll be out of house, and you'll have nowhere else to live. And that will motivate the person to not sell at all and live in a predominantly Arab neighborhood like Chevron, which might be dangerous, right? Can there be room to be makil and allow him to sell the land to an Arab to allow him to buy land in a Jewish settlement, right? The Shiloh gets very,
although,
right?
I mean, we should encourage it. It's interesting. I think you should be machmer in that case. You want a Jew living in that area.
Good, that's what you think. Rav Asher Weiss is makil, but okay. Fine.